Good morning.
Morning.
Howdy. Is that what you said?
I did.
You did. Howdy. I like that. It reminds me of home. Howdy. In Oklahoma, huh? When that song was talking about testify, you know, what are we doing when we testify? We're acknowledging what God has done in our life. And when we acknowledge what God has done in our life, it does what? It glorifies Him. It magnifies Him. It reveals who He is and how great He is. And so that falls in line with our part two message of the mission of the church, because the part two message of this series of messages is the mission of the church is to glorify God. Where ultimately God is to be magnified, God is to be revealed, He is to be glorified for who He is. And there are different ways in which we can do that. We're going to look at that this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank You for each one here. I want to thank You, Father, for the blessing of Your word. I want to thank You, dear Holy Spirit, for, well, first of all, being real, and we know You in our hearts. Pray, Father, that You would work in such a way that You'd work through Your Spirit, that You would touch each and everybody's heart here today. That it won't just be a message that, okay, we heard a message, just go home. But my prayer is that each one of us would hear something personally from You. But in order for that, we have to have hearts and ears and eyes spiritually open. We have to be ready and receptive to the things that You want us to hear, to see, and to know. And so, Father, as we open up our hearts to You, to be able to hear what You have for us to hear, I pray that You would take great advantage of that and just speak to us clearly, each one of us, as You feel fit, that would bring You honor and glory. Carry the message, accomplish Your work, glorify Your Son, and when we leave here today, may we leave giving You glory and praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you know, I normally have some sort of introduction for the message. Sometimes you've been here when I've done object lessons in front of you. I like the science projects that I've done in the past in front of everybody. I like the fire that I've done in front of people over the years. You know, we might have somebody come up, like last week we had Melissa come up and do a reading. Different things like that to introduce the message. But today I want to do something different in introducing the message, something that we've not done before. And it begins with, first of all, my part. My part is that I want to acknowledge somebody for what they have done and serving the Lord and how it's blessed me. Now, I thought about mentioning this person's name, but I decided not to because they know who it is. But the person that vacuums these carpets and vacuums these pews and comes in faithfully every week and does that, I want to let you know I appreciate you. And I appreciate the fact that you're serving God. Amen. And faithfully. That person does not look for anybody's recognition. Just quietly, I'm not going to say slithers, but quietly moves into the church and does their work for the Lord because they love the Lord. Now, they're here today, and they've heard this, but it's I'm sure that to them that's a blessing to know that they have been acknowledged for their faithfulness and service to God. So we're going to take it one step further, and that step is that I want each of you, and oh boy, here it comes. Now, I just want you to maybe take a moment to acknowledge someone that's sitting next to you or someone else in the room. You can very discreetly, very quietly turn to your spouse or turn to your friend or your child or whatever the case is and just say, you know what, I just want to thank you. I want to acknowledge what you're doing. I want to give God the glory for who you are and what you do. So with that, if you just take a moment, and you don't have to make a big deal about it, just quietly mention it to each other and tell them how much you appreciate them, and just a real quick little statement. Because it's important that we do that. So take a moment, and I'll be right back. You know, it's good to see each of you taking a moment to say how much you appreciate each other. And having done that, as you talk to each other and share that, Let me ask you a question. Is it a blessing to you? I mean, if you heard from your spouse, if you heard from your spouse or a friend, and you got that blessing of them saying, you know what, I appreciate you. I acknowledge who you are and what you've done. If you agree that that's a blessing, either nod your head yes or say amen or something.
Amen.
Okay. It feels good, doesn't it? It feels good to have that compliment, but it also feels good to give the compliment. And we need that. You know, a lot of times we think that, and I think we're afraid of it, that we think that we're just looking for the good old boy pat on the back type thing. That's not what this is about. This is about a genuine heart acknowledging each other because you love them and you appreciate them. And to let that be communicated is of great, great, great value. So now that I've acknowledged somebody in here that you don't know, that they know, I did, you've acknowledged each other and given that compliment to each other. Now I want you to take a moment, if you would please, and just give some praise or glorify God in your own prayer, because that's what he wants to hear from us too. So take a moment to bring glory to God and praise him in your own prayer. Amen. Now, do you think the Father, our Heavenly Father, likes it when we tell him, I'm so, so pleased with you. I'm so happy that you are my Father, or thank you for doing this, and I would just want to praise you for what you've done in my life, or what you've done today, or maybe that prayer that was answered today. I don't know who it was earlier today. I heard someone saying they had prayed a prayer and it was answered. It was something one of the kids, wasn't it? Yeah, and so they had prayed, and God answered their prayer, and that little child was like, wow, God answered that prayer. What a blessing. And so we can thank God, and we can praise God for that and bring him glory for that. But he's our Father, and when we praise God and give him the glory for who he is and what he's done in our lives, that blesses him. Just like it did when I commented on the person that did the carpeting in the pews, or just like it did when you mentioned to someone beside you or around you how much you appreciate them and complimented them, or even vice versa, how you received those blessings. That good word is important. It's of utmost importance, because a good word can have a great impact. It doesn't have to be much. It can have a great impact. In Proverbs 15:23, it says, a man has joy by the answer of his mouth. And look at this last part. And a word spoken in due season, how good it is. In other words, there might be a point, a due season, an appropriate time and place in which a good word does a great work. Giving you an example, when I was working at Holiday Inn's resort in Cocoa Beach, Florida, huge resort. And I was a supervisor in the housekeeping department, and my supervisor over me was a Christian. And I saw for a couple of days she looked a little bit downcast in her spirit, wasn't quite herself at the desk. And so I just felt compelled by the Lord, go tell her something. Go tell her how much you appreciate her, or tell her, you know, she's a kind person. I can't remember. It's been too long ago. But it was something short, something personal that said something good about her. And she looked up at me and she said, I really needed that today. Thank you. So we all know that there can be a kind word, a good word that we speak to each other, that we receive from others, that is just in the right time. It's a godsend. We needed to hear it. And we can praise God and give him the glory for it. In Proverbs 25:11, it says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and settings of silver. So, well, that doesn't mean a whole lot to me. Well, first of all, a word fitly spoken is one that is crafted specifically for a need. In other words, there's a specific thing that you want to tell somebody that's specifically for them. Crafted, cut, hewn, whatever, okay, for them. And then you think about apples of gold and settings of silver. Well, just think about this as a fine art piece. That gold was crafted into golden apples, and they were embedded into a silver background. And for some, according to the scripture here, that was a beautiful picture. And so what we have is that if we are able to say something, to give a word that is fitly spoken, specifically designed for that person, it is something beautiful to the one who receives it. It's something that means a lot, is refreshing to them. When we see artwork that we appreciate or beautiful, beautiful things, like you said out in the country, God is such an artist, it refreshes us. It does something. It blesses us. And so a good word will bless others. Now, these things glorify God. You have to understand that when we are complimenting each other out of a genuine heart, when we are prompted by the Holy Spirit to say something to somebody that even is just a word or a simple deed, that God, we have to follow that lead as God gives it to us, that they might be encouraged. By doing so, we're reflecting the very character of God. For instance, a natural picture. The moon reflects the light of the sun. Now, all through creation, we see pictures of God. God said, if you've seen creation, you've got no excuse not to believe me. Amen. Right? And so the moon reflects the sun, the light of the sun. So that's the natural aspect of that. But what about the spiritual aspect? The natural recourse for Christian is that we reflect the light of the sun. Amen. Right? You and I are called to reflect the light, the character, the person of Jesus in our lives out to others. We are to reflect the light of the sun by doing this, complimenting each other. You ever sense that God is pleased with you? You ever get that sense of blessing that God is happy or proud of you? That does happen. And it's a blessing. But we too are to reflect that in complimenting others. We are to acknowledge each other, not for the good old boy pat on the back syndrome, but for the sincere heart that says, I really, really do appreciate you, and therefore you compliment them. We are to reflect the light of the sun by loving one another and with heartfelt praise. So if we are complimenting each other, acknowledging each other, loving one another with hearts of praise, what do you think this does? It glorifies God. Why? Because we're reflecting his character. We're reflecting him. And it brings him glory. Because when people see the character of God come out of our lives and we're able to acknowledge that's God doing that, then it reveals who he is. And that's a way of glorifying God. In fact, the world will know them by their love. We've heard that before, haven't we? In John 13:35, it says, by this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So if we give a good word to somebody or compliment somebody or show genuine love toward one another or anything that reflects that connection of love as brothers and sisters in Christ, the world is watching and they're going to see that genuineness of heart. The genuineness of love and concern and consideration for each other, and they're going to see the reflection of God in this body of believers. And that in itself will glorify God. And so we can praise God for that. So in 13:35, again, it says, by this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. You know, it's easy to be in church. It's easy to be amongst a group of people. It's easy to be in church and feel like you're alone, separated, non-identified, not included, all these types of things. But when we are reaching out of genuine love to each other and helping them feel welcome and received, that's a blessing. That's a blessing that glorifies God. And that's what we ought to be doing. God is glorified by genuinely known and expressed love for one another. As a human being, can we identify hypocrisy or insincerity? Can we? Yeah. When a person's talking, can you kind of get that sense? You know, they're not really meaning what they're saying. They're just talking. I don't know if you've ever sensed that. We sense the lack of authenticity, the lack of sincerity. But when people know the genuineness of our heart, expressing love for them, it glorifies God. We can glorify God by genuinely loving people into his kingdom. You know, people are out there, they're of all different breed, as the cliche might say. All different backgrounds, all different characters, all different presentations of themselves, all different histories. There are even people out there that everything they stand for and every way that they look is offensive to our standard of living. And yet God calls us to love genuinely people in the world, that through that love, it'll bring them to the kingdom of God. In other words, more specifically, when we genuinely care and love about people out there, that love can draw people to know Christ. And we're to reflect, that's a reflection of God's character. John 3:16 is very clear about that, right? That we know that God died for the whole world, not just for individuals, but for the whole world. God is glorified by genuinely teaching others about God. You know, when we are expressing our love genuinely to each other, when we are loving people out there and encouraging them to come to know Christ, and when we genuinely teach others about God, it glorifies the Lord. You know, when you share the gospel and you share how Christ died on the cross for our sins and was buried and rose on the third day and he's alive today, and that if we ask God to forgive us and come live in our heart, he'll come live in our heart, right? He'll never leave us nor forsake us. In fact, his spirit will bear with our spirit that we are the children of God, that he's real, that he lives in here, and we're in him and he's in us. And so as we are able to help people come to know this, that's a form of teaching. But when they come to know Christ, we have to teach them. And so we teach them by our example. It's one of the things I've heard about with youth, that if we are not connecting by example as adults to youth, then when youth become adults, they don't have the example to follow. When we have to connect with youth to be able to show them genuine love for them, not just as their extra hands of work. We need an extra hand, but to develop that relationship. This will help them to transition into that solid Christian life that they should be having. But we have to teach the truth of God's word to others. So God is glorified when we express our love for one another, when we love people into God's kingdom, and we teach others about God with a genuine heart. Now, what's the mission of the church? Your mission of the church is to do all things to the glory of God. Everything we do to the glory of God. In Sunday school this morning, Don was teaching about the fact that we are to do everything to the glory of God. Do it for him. I was a custodian in Placerville for 13 years. I cleaned a lot of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches out of those things that are on the wall. I've cleaned up a lot of mess. And in that, I knew that God was compelling me and leading me, Terry, you just do the work that's expected of you completely, thoroughly, and for my glory. And that's what God wants us to do. And so the mission of the church is that we are to seek to bring God glory in everything. And I know that's a little bit abstract, but we're going to look at that a little bit more closely here. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, it says, therefore, whether you eat or drink, whole different subject in this verse, but I want us to look at the last end of it. It says, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. If it's scrubbing out grout, clean grout between tile, if it's digging, if it's cleaning leaves off the roof, if it's whatever it is that we're doing, whether it's menial or great, whatever we are called to do or involved in doing, we are to do it to the glory of God. We're not to do things half-heartedly. We can't do things half-heartedly for God and expect God to be glorified. We can't expect ourselves to just do what quote-unquote needs to be done but not go the extra mile to do a job that brings glory to God. We have to be willing to go the extra step, the extra mile, to do things in such quality and such excellence that God is truly glorified by what's done. That people will say, wow, look what God has done through you. Not for our ego, but to acknowledge that God has done it. Use that as a springboard to say, God's given me the ability, or God's given me the heart. Or simply say, you know what, I'm a Christian. What God has called me to do, I'm going to do my very best for him. that he might be glorified. Our mission is to seek every opportunity to bring glory to God. Every opportunity. Everywhere that we are working, everywhere we are talking, every communication, every relationship, every situation, everywhere we are, we're to have the mindset, I know it's difficult, but somehow we have to have a thought of bringing glory to God where we are. There might be a situation where, you get relaxed, you're not thinking about that, but maybe a situation hits you in the face, and maybe the Holy Spirit's saying, careful, bring me glory. And we need to listen to him. But we need to seek to bring him glory in everything. In our marriages, we are the most relaxed, most transparent of anybody with our spouses. And the Lord might be saying, careful, bring me glory. Boy, have I missed that mark a lot. But see, we need to take the opportunity to seek to bring glory to God. Our church mission statement, our church goal, and our church desire is, and by the way, it's up here on the wall. I'm going to move that to the back wall, I think. And that's our mission statement. A lot of times we don't even see that. But our mission statement is to exalt the Savior, equip the saints, and evangelize lost souls. Now that sounds pretty lofty to a certain degree. But in other words, it means to give praise to God, or it means to glorify God. So to exalt the Savior is to praise or glorify God. We're lifting him up. We're acknowledging him. We're bringing him the glory, him the credit, what he deserves. We are called to equip the saints, which means that we are to disciple or teach believers in Christ. My job is clearly expressed in Timothy, where it says, you are to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Whatever area of ministry God calls you in to serve, and by the way, every one of us is called to serve. That when you're called in that position, that's my job, to help you feel equipped to do the job. I need to improve on that. I don't always follow through real well on that. Small churches, people step into positions to serve, and it's just done. They're just doing it. But I need to encourage them. I need to ask them, do you need anything? And then I need to be able to follow through on what they need. But that shouldn't just be on me, but all of us should be encouraging each other with praise. Then it says, evangelize lost souls. It means to compel the lost to know Christ. Don't be afraid of the word evangelize. Just understand that our heart, our testimony, our witness, how we bring glory to God, will have an impact on people that they might come to know Christ. All these things, exalt, equip, evangelize, and to praise, and to disciple, and to compel, in all of these areas, bring glory to God. When we're actively seeking his glory, when we're actively helping one another grow in Christ, and when we're actively reaching out to the lost, it glorifies God, does it not? That's what we are supposed to do as a, not just as a church, but as Christians. So if we, by our lifestyle and our values, our lifestyle and our values are supposed to reflect, like we talked about, our love for God, one another, and for all people. Our lifestyle, our values should always reflect our love for God, one another, and all people. And guess what? Our lives will glorify God if we do that. I mean, if we're looking to seek God's glory first, if we're loving each other with genuine hearts, and we are loving all people, regardless of who they are or what their standards are or whatever, just love them because God loves them, then our lives will reflect and be the character of God and glorify him. That's pretty simple sounding, isn't it? Love God, love one another, and love others. If we do that, God will be glorified. In 1 Corinthians 6:20, it says, for you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, understand what's being said here is that our body and our spirit belong to God. Why? Because when Christ died on the cross for your sin and my sin, he paid the price, the penalty for our sin, which enabled us to have a relationship with him. So God paid the price for you and I that when we receive him into our life, we now belong to him. We've been bought by a price, by the blood of Christ. Okay? So we were bought at a price. Therefore, do what? We belong to God. He's in us. We're in him. We belong to him. And he did a great sacrifice for us. But because of this, we are to glorify God in how we conduct ourselves physically as well as in our spirit. Now, what's the difference between spirit and soul? Some of us mix it like this. But there's a distinction between the spirit and the soul. The soul is our mind, will, and emotions. Makes up our character, who we are. But the spirit is the gut of who we are. Down below the mind, will, and emotions, there's a sense of who we are. That's the spirit. A little abstract, nonetheless, that's who we are. Who we are inside, who we are physically, in all ways, is to bring glory to God. If who we are inside in our spirit will have an effect on how we think, what our emotions are, what our will is, when we yield ourselves to God. In Psalm 29, 1 and 2, it says, "Give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." We are to work in such a way, again, that we bring glory to God. But what does it mean, bring or give unto the Lord glory and strength? When we praise God and thank God for what he's done, we also are to acknowledge how powerful God is. Never thought it could happen, but God did it. Never thought I could do this, but God did it through me. Never thought God would resolve that, but he did. And we can use a lot of different examples along that way. But we are to bring him glory and acknowledge his strength, his power. And look at the last part of verse 2. Worship the Lord in what? The beauty of holiness. If our hearts are pure and right with God, and we acknowledge him, give him glory and praise, that's worship. And that's what God wants. He doesn't want us to worship him if our hearts aren't right with him. In fact, we can't properly worship God if our hearts are not right with him. And so we need to have that clean, pure heart before the Lord. So we know that the world is watching. Ask yourself this question, and I'll ask myself as well. How do they see us live? How do your neighbors see you? How do those that you work around see you? How is our conduct seen by those that are around us? Is it a conduct that brings glory to God? Or is it a conduct that does not? And we have to ask that question because the world is watching. So how do they see us live? The world is watching us. You've seen it. They may not admit it, but they're watching us. If you say you're a Christian, they're going to be looking for anything they can to tag you as, ha-ha, you've done something wrong. We know that. But may they see more of the glory of God working through our lives than our sinful nature. The world is watching, so does the world see us praise and acknowledge God? In our daily walk, we should be looking for ways to say God did that, or I'm dependent upon God, or God loves me, whatever that situation might be. Does our community see the praise and glory of God in and through our church? Does the community see the power of God's presence in our church? Are we known in this community to be a church that is in love with God, that exalts God, that glorifies him? That's something we need to pray about and seek. So the community, when they see us individually, when they are watching us all together, when they see us as a church, that they see God glorified. So the world will see his love for his people when we praise or glorify God. The Lord will see his love for his people when we praise him for what he does. Take the opportunity to acknowledge what God has done for you to those that are around you. You know, my mother used to say, politics and religion are private and not your business. Could not be further from the truth. It was a culture, but politics means that we take a stand. Churches used to take a stand. They looked for pastors and preachers to take a stand on what was right politically. That was common in the day because there were Christian values that were weighed up against political stances. Our faith and our relationship with God is not to be kept in closed doors and private, but it is to be public, that God will be glorified. That's of utmost importance. God has called us to be his disciples. We're in a constant learning position as we follow Christ. God has called us God has called us to be his disciples, and through him our lives will produce much fruit. I've received Christ. I'm learning about Christ. I'm yielding to what he wants me to apply to my life. What's the end result going to be? Fruit. If I start living in a way that people see Christ in me, if I start acknowledging God to people that are around me, if I start bearing testimony, if you will, of the grace and the power and the wonder and the love and the faithfulness of God in my life, that's fruit. It's not just fruit and service in the church. It's not contained in these walls in and of itself. It's what God produces through us in our lives wherever we are. Wherever we are. When we do these things, when we're disciples and we produce much fruit, what will happen? God will be glorified. God will be glorified. That's what we want. Hey, you know what? When we're in heaven, we will wish that when we look back that we had glorified God more. Because we don't understand the greatness of who God is. One day we'll stand before him and things will be so much clearer, so much understanding, and so much humbling, and yet so much glorifying to God, that we will have wished that we would have brought him glory more this side of heaven. In John 15:8, it says, "By this my Father is glorified." We want to know how to glorify him? It's the mission of the church to glorify God. "By this my Father is glorified," what? "That you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." If you are a follower of Christ, look, you say, okay, I've received Christ, therefore some will say, oh, I'm a follower of Christ because I've received him. No, that's not following Christ. That's receiving him. But if we are those that as believers in Christ are willing to be taught the truth of his scripture through our personal study, through Bible studies, or through preaching of the word or fellowship, whatever, if we're willing to be taught, then we are indeed what? His disciples. And that's of utmost importance for us, because as we learn of him, he teaches us how to apply things that produces fruit that brings him glory. And so, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." Evidence of being a follower of Christ is by the fruit of God working through our life for his glory. So here, this week I want you to try two different things. One, ask God for an opportunity to exalt him publicly. It could be a really short phrase, just like a comment you made to each other. You might say, okay, we know the coin phrase today, oh, God is good. It's okay. That's true. God bless you today. God has really blessed me today. Or rely on God, he loves you. Something that we can actually connect the reality of God and project it out or reflect it publicly. It doesn't have to be extensive, but an opportunity to give God credit and to glorify him. So we're to watch for that opportunity. First, ask God for an opportunity to exalt him publicly and watch for that opportunity. And the second thing I want us to pursue this week is share what God has done for you. It's a little bit more challenging, but pray that God will give you an opportunity with wherever you have contact to share what God has done for you. It doesn't have to be a lengthy essay, but you might be able to say, you know what, I can kind of relate with what you're going through because I've been through that. And God brought me through it. Like cancer. And all the treatments of cancer. God was with me. He brought me through it. But maybe he'll give you an opportunity to share that with somebody. And all of us have our own story to tell. Let God work through our own lives to tell the story of God in our lives to help people see who God is, that he'll be glorified. That's what we need to do. So when we do these things, we take part in the mission of the church. and we bring glory to God. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for your word, the challenge, Father, for us to glorify you. Never let us take that as a something lightly. Never let us take that for granted. But let us find the joy and greater depth of publicly acknowledging you. That we would reflect you, your love, your character, the relationship that we have with you through our lives. That it'll be a rich blessing. That we will know that we're pleasing you. That we will know that you're pleased with us for being open and public about our relationship with you and sharing that with others. That we'll find great joy in finding ways to bring you glory. That we'll know the richness of that, the depth of that, the impact of that, not only on other people's lives, but on our own. And I'm asking, Father, please, that not one of us will leave here today without an impression from you, out of your love, out of your compassion, laid on our hearts to say, tell people about me and glorify my name. For we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.